If you listen to this podcast before, you're probably expecting the usual nonsense intro that we do. However, after we recorded, we found out that a friend of the show, friend of the legacy community, especially in the Pacific Northwest, Jordan Izaka, tragically passed away. When we started this podcast and, you know, we kind of decided we were going to have this sort of local-ish focus, kind of talked about people that, like, you know, eventually we would have on when we, you know, kind of got our legs under us, if that ever happened. And Jordan was the first person who came to mind as a guest, and we were really lucky to have him on episode 19. We've talked a lot about the gathering and how it's the most important part of this game we all play, and Jordan was one of the people that made a trip to Mox special. We know he was much more than his contribution to the Magic community, but even if that was all that he left behind, he'd leave in one hell of a legacy. I'm sure we'll have a lot more to say when we record the next episode in a couple weeks, but it didn't seem right to put out this episode without saying to Jordan's family and friends, and we know there's a ton of the latter group. We're just sending our love, thinking of you, and Jordan. Rest easy, buddy. This is episode 84.
Crack a lotus petal, gonna underworld breach it. Crack a lion's a diamond, gonna underworld breach it. I cast myself upon the, gonna underworld breach it. Cast myself a brainstorm, gonna underworld breach it. Well, cast this breach from my hand, flash back every spell I can, and then brain freeze you out. Well, if I had my little way, well, I cast breaches every day, silence you so you can't counterspell. Crack a lotus petal, gonna underworld breach it. Crack a lion's a diamond, gonna underworld breach it. I cast myself a ponder, gonna underworld breach it. Cast myself a brainstorm, gonna underworld breach it.
Hello and welcome to the King of Threshold Legacy Podcast. It wouldn't mind gobbling these nuts if we wouldn't have to gobble down fucking spoilers every 2 weeks. I'm getting tired. I'm so tired. Jeff, my co-host, as always, Jeff Kinsey. I'm so tired. Are you tired? I'm tired.
I'm extremely tired. I had a friend try to talk to me this week about, like, what's going on in Magic. He plays Magic. He's, like, you know, a little involved. And he was asking me what's the deal with the beta thing, you know, the proxy shit. So I was trying to talk to him about that. And then he asked me what I was going to be playing in Legacy soon. And I told him all these new cards. They have stickers that you put on them. And, like, trying to explain this to somebody who, like, isn't aware at all. It's just, this is so dumb and I'm so tired.
I have a note on collector's edition, but before we do that, I'm going to give a little treat to McBain, not keep him waiting. Introduce our other co-host, Brandon McBain. McBain, how's it going?
Hey, guys. Why would you even need to bring up stickers to someone?
I was talking about what I was going to be playing, and then that's like, I sent him a picture, and he's like, what is this? And I was like, well, okay, the underscores are because...
And then you said, gotcha.
Like, and then you start explaining a sticker deck, and it's like, well, you don't just get to choose them either. You have 10, but then you get 3. And then the who... I'm considering not playing this on Thursday just because I don't want to have to look up and remember how to choose my sticker deck. This is my nightmare.
JR, or XJ, will be playing it, and... he has, like, the penultimate version of the deck.
Oh, yeah.
He got the fancy foils before they got bought out everywhere.
The stonks, the galaxy foils. They're up to $35 or something now.
The galaxy brain foil stonks.
You know what? I bought some from Face to Face, like, you know, I think for the same for first day you could. And I was looking, and I'm not one for foils or like special editions. So I was just like, I'm scrolling right past those. I'm just getting the regular ones. So I just bought four regular non-foil ones. I could be rich. I could have a second income stream, feed my family on these goblins.
Stonk goblin. Interesting. Well, I hope you do play it. I know Anthony seemed to be having some fun with it last week when it was out and about. I do have to say, Quinn, I did really enjoy that photo I got of you painfully looking down at the board state with both the fucking dog in play and then the stickers laid out. And it was just like everything that you hate all in one spot. And it was just perfect.
Between you and like Alistair, it's like accidental renaissance.
It's like Magic doesn't need more variability. Like you draw cards off the top of your randomized deck. But in both those games, there was one where like, well, there was a couple of things. There was like Anthony, you draw like 3 sticker cards out of 10. And they both look like, ooh, that's bad. And I'm like, what? And he's like, well, the average should be 5, but I only got like a 4. And I'm like, oh, this is fucking terrible. And then there was like some game where he just like hit a 6 and just like fucking went off. And I'm like, he's like, well, that was lucky. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. And then there was some game where Elliot rolled a 6 with a fucking dog. And then Anthony's like, oh, I guess it might be dead. And I'm like, oh, everything about this sucks. Like when your opponent plays a card, sometimes you're just dead. Like there's a lot of magic cards where you're like, I'm dead.
So I think
but like you're also like, oh, maybe I'm dead, or maybe like this will suck for you. Like that's fun, like one time. It's fun. Which is why unsets were great as unsets. Very funny.
All right.
To play with your friends in a limited format.
I'm gonna have like I think the ceiling is him to Torak, where it's always 2 cards. It could be both your lands that you're holding, or it could be.
Okay, if they reprinted him to Torak on a semi-regular basis, I'd be like, well, I guess this is just magic. Instead, everyone kind of recognizes it like, that's not a good card. It just exists.
Yeah.
Dude, him
like,
rules.
And that's fine, I guess. You know, like if they were like, we're banning him to Turek because it kind of, it's like why Mind Twist is not off the reserve list. It's not too powerful. Or sorry, not off the ban list. It's not too powerful. It's just like, what's the point?
Every once in a while,
you'll play some fucking guy who goes like Dark Ritual, Mind Twist. And you'd be like, cool, we didn't play Magic.
Mind Twist in these nuts.
Yeah. Like you have no cards. I have no cards. You have one swamp. And then nothing happens. Like
the next BNR list is just like, Mind Twist is unbanned. And then their blurb is like, well, you know, we already just introduced all this extra variance into the Legacy format. So we figured in for a penny, in for a pound. So here's your extra variance back. And then, you know, you're just Mind Twist in these nuts. So
me throwing dice, literal Mind Twist.
You might as well like unban the Dexterity cards if we're already throwing dice. Like, let's go. Chaos Orb.
Yeah, Delver was just the beginning. Now we're actually truly flipping cards.
Chaos Orb is way less weird than some of the shit's happening now.
The real next level is Falling Star, where there's whole like articles written about the optimal configurations of like how you stack the cards to have like maximal Falling Star effects. Let's clean this up, Jeff.
Okay. Same event as the last couple episodes. Laughing Dragon is having a 1K November 5th, North Issaquah, Washington. I don't know what else to say.
Before or after next episode, we'll have gone to the event. So theoretically, yes. This is going to come out like right before the event, and we'll be going down to it and all that. So
this will be good. in my semi-protests from just not having played much lately. I think I'm probably going to be looking at some sort of shitty new cards, Stompy-esque, be it, Turbo Mind Goblins, or like the Dungeon Stompy. Maybe the Dungeon Stompy, because you can't play that online. Not that you can play Mind Goblin online, but, you know.
Just so I'm clear, this is the initiative... Yeah. Red creature.
No, white. The White Plume Adventurer, seasoned dungeoneer or something. Yep.
Well,
get the initiative. Kill him. It worked for Popper. It got to work for Legacy. What are you going to be on? Are you going to be playing some like Imbigans or some... what was that card they were playing in Storm? Paradise?
Yeah, Paradise.
That actually seemed kind of good.
It does.
It's a good card.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say it as Paradise, like Birds of Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And just that'll be that. And I'll just forget that it's actually a stupid pun. And just it'll be Paradise.
And I mean,
it's going to be great. I'm going to be like in an important match of Magic and then roll Snake Eyes for some reason. And then I'll just quit Magic on the spot, sell all of my dual lands, and then be able to force something good. Literally anything. I'll take it at this point.
A Paradise, even.
Yeah. I can just imagine the fancy dice you could buy.
So, I mean, I'm going to read this one because this one I think was under a lot of people's radar, definitely mine. It's not something I caught my eyes on. It's 3 and green for an instant. You roll 2 6-sided dice and you return any number of cards with total mana value X or less from your graveyard to your hand, where X is the total of those dice, and then you exile it. So notably, you can always get back all of your Lotus Petals and LEDs, which is fucked up.
And then, is permanence?
Any cards.
So all your rituals, all your artifact mana.
So the total mana
You can get tutor back.
Oh, I see. So if you roll 4...
Yeah.
You can get up to 4 CMC. So you could get like 4 Dark Rituals and 5 artifact mana that are 0.
Yeah. Extremely fucked up that you can get all of your LEDs and petals. That seems crazy. And it exiles itself, so you can't do like, you know, some kind of like ill-gotten gains.
And you don't have to play red.
Yep.
Wow.
Because it replaces Pass and Flames.
Wow.
Imagine replacing Pass and Flames with an uncard. It's just fucked up.
So you can simply get owned by Veil of Summer, but I mean, whatever.
I mean, you can also like cast this and like, you know, hit a 2 on that time you need to hit a 4 or something. And you're just like, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're casting fucking ad nauseum at some point. So it's like you're already rolling the dice.
If you're going to be mad about anything, though, it's just like, you know, like anyone who does it has to be like, it's just like justice. If you're like, I played Paradise, and your opponent's like, oh, on the stack, I'll Veil of Summer. And you're like, I lose.
I appreciate you saying
I played a worse Magic card than you played. I didn't know it was possible, but I did it, and so you got me.
Paradise lost?
Sorry.
That's what you'd say at that point?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
For some what shitty stupid, puns.
What's Veil doing here?
In the deck?
Same thing it does all everything? The time.
Oh no, sorry. My brain isn't processing. I thought you were saying like your opponent would Veil and I don't
know. Oh well, because you don't have red, so you have no alternate. I mean, I guess you can ooze.
Oh, but I mean if like yeah, I don't know. It's whatever. Ave is the thing. That's like real tech.
Yeah, I guess you just Ave, yeah. You can't grape shot though. So you your tendrils are bust, right?
You got a green, you know, empty the warrens. You got a green pass the flames. You're set.
Green is just the best color now, and then
it's
red.
Quinn, look at what you red, started.
Like all the mono red. Yeah,
we weren't. That wasn't on the main cast. The green talk.
Oh well, then I can just make it seem like you said a lot worse things than you did.
Oh, just terrible things with green. No, terrible things with other colors except for green.
just to finalize on the Laughing Dragon thing. Winner does get a free entry to Puget Sound Battleground 5. Which is great.
Very cool.
It'd be fun to go down and do Puget Sound Battleground 5. I think it's already been announced in terms of when it is. I think it's June or something of next year.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I haven't seen anything, but I mean, that's when they do it. So that tracks.
Yeah.
But we got so sidetracked in two different places, but McBain, what are you going to be playing?
I might just play lands again. I think that's probably reasonable. I did play lands, like just maybe transitioning to what have you been playing lately in Legacy? Lands is my answer. I'd been playing Delver for the last like 3 or 4 weeks. I'm kind of, you know, having fun, having interactive games. But I randomly took lands to the weekly last week and played somewhat poorly.
As one does.
there was one game where there was just like at least 10 things happening at any given moment, like on my board with all these triggers and stuff that I had to do. And I was definitely a bit fumbly, but I did get the 4-0 and had some pretty good matchups.
I played like shit. I fucked it up, but opponents were idiots.
No. I lucked out pretty hard. Like there's a new fellow, Chris, who's from Toronto. It was his first time out. He just moved here. He's a software engineer, and he sat down. I was like, "Hey, have you like been here before?" "No, I haven't." "Okay, cool. Like, do you play other formats?" He's like, "No, not really." I was like, "Okay, cool." And then he just goes like turn
Reanimator.
One. No, it goes turn one Magus of the Moon. Plus. And I'm on lands, and I'm just like, "Holy shit, I'm fucking dead." And then I draw for the turn and it's Punishing Fire. It's like, "Oh, never mind. Play my Dark Terps, Punishing Fire, Magus of the Moon." But I was like, it was maybe like turn three when I drew the Punishing Fire, but I was definitely on a two outer. Like my odds of getting COVID were higher than drawing that fucking card.
But like, how fast was his clock?
He had played a moon and then a Rabble Master.
Okay. It gets going pretty fast.
Yeah, like he was doing some stuff, and I was like, I'm dead. And then drew the P Fire, and I was like, oh, never mind. And then game two, he went turn one moon again, and I just went turn one Dark Depths with zero counters, Mox Diamond, and then I Lightning Bolt to Sky, make the 20-20, and it's like, okay, well, I got really lucky there. Thank you very much. But it's not like an amazing matchup. We played some more games after that, but yeah, he was a nice guy, but there was definitely some, I had a number of lucky things go my way throughout the evening, but overall, I had fun. So I might just run that back. We'll see. I'll play it again this week and see how it turns out. See how I feel about it. Quinn, I think importantly, we're at Thursday, or we're at Legacy last week, and I was playing against Alistair. Shout out to Alistair, who's back in Vancouver for the next month and a half at least, after doing residency all across the province. Specifically, I guess, like Port McNeil on Vancouver Island. And I think Salmon Arm in the like Kootenay kind of interior area and somewhere else. I can't remember.
I see what we're doing here.
Literally driving his truck all over the province. Even when we came back from Puget Sound, he was dropping me off because then he was catching a ferry in the morning. And then he was driving all the way to Vancouver Island and then catching another ferry and driving all the way up to like the north of BC. And his beautiful little beater truck driving across the entire province.
That is a fucking beater truck. But it's not little. It's kind of like a full-size truck. But but he was playing Infect, and it was beautiful.
Whoa!
In one of the games, he put 19 -1/-1 counters on my Merit Lage over the course of two combat steps. And then I proceeded to kill him with a Merit Lage that was a 1-1 suited up with a Shadow Spear and was able to get in there.
What?
To be fair, I could have like made another copy of Merit Lage. Like I had it ready, but I was much more like wanting to go for the achievement unlock of having a Merit Lage with a whole bunch of D6 on it.
Like a 2/2 Merit Lage?
Yeah. gaining me two legs. Saying a turn.
It was not a competitive game.
No, yeah, it was like, yeah, it was very favorable for me. But Alice is one of those people who will always, like, it's like a Goonies never say die kind of thing, where he'll always be like, well, you know, I could Vampiric Tutor these 10 cards to the top of my deck and stack your deck, and there is a universe where I can win this game. And he will find that universe and like drive towards it, Doctor Strange style. And I instead got to do the whole Thanos thing and just punch his face in with my 1/1 Merit Lage for the full metaphor. But I look over, Quinn, and there you are, seat 4 or whatever, casting Delver of Secrets and Murktide Regent.
Ew!
I played 4 Stifles and 4, what the fuck's that card called? The 1-mana white card?
Esper Sentinel.
They're supposed to come up. They never came up. Yeah, I beat the 2 cheer decks I played. I lost to the 2 rogue decks I played, so it was like exactly as you expect. But I played Interactive Magic. And also, I just like one game against Dylan, I just drew 4 Wastelands and was like in my head at first being like, I need a threat. And then be like, oh, actually, I don't need anything. I just need to sinkhole you 4 times in a row and then you'll won't stop drawing lands. And then I played a Murktide Regent because I had so many Wastelands in my graveyard. Good Magic card.
That's sweet.
Have you guys heard of this card?
I have.
Mana, and it's just gigantic. And if your opponent doesn't kill it, they die.
Isn't it just Tombstalker?
Okay, but what if you could only play good colors?
Oh, is it that 5/5 with Ward 2? Is that the card you're talking about?
No, it flies, though.
Oh, it flies. It doesn't have Ward 2. Okay, yeah, I guess that's not as good, but that's fine.
Imagine if they made Delver Tribe. So it's just like Llanowar Tribe, except it comes pre-flipped and they're just stapled together for an extra mana and they just bash into someone's face and then you win the game. I did not play Expressive Iteration, though. I simply held cards in my hand because I didn't need to play them.
Were you playing like you had it, you just weren't casting it?
Well, I played Jeskai Delver. I think it won the challenge probably now like a month ago. So I had Swords, Prismatic Ending, Bolt, 4 Days, 4 Force. So like Bob Delver, actually, yeah. I think I won with the Delver like one game. I just mostly was like, you don't have stuff. And then when we're both low on cards, I'm like, I'll play a Murktide. I think the thing though is like, when you play a Murktide, after you run your opponent out of resources going 1/1, you're like, well, you have no chance. Whereas back in the day when you're like, I have to play a Delver or like a Tarmogoyf, and you're like, well, you might just like run out blockers. There's like a lot of things can happen. Murktide is just like fucked up.
Well, to be fair, like if you go really far back, that's the, you know, you trade off resources, you fight about things, and then you play a Tombstalker and attack twice, and that's the game as well. I'm not trying to defend the monstrosity that is Murktide Regent. It doesn't need any defending. It's good enough. But I'm glad you know, Quinn, you branched out. You tried some things. You got to play Stifle. That's sick. You didn't get any, like, Stifle.
No, like, Stifle Days, no. But it's just, like, you know, straight up playing. Also, right, like, in today's Magic, I just Stifle people, and they were like, I'm sorry, what? Like, I'll fetch. I'm like, I swear I have a response. And they eyes go wide. What could possibly be happening right now? I'm sorry, it's 2022. Like, what are you going to do to me? Stifle me? Oh, my God. The statement from Man Stabbed. What are you going to do? Stab me? Like, yes, sorry. I've stabbed you.
It was maybe 5 weeks ago now, but I did play some deck I saw online where it was Rug Delver, not playing Expressives. It did fairly well in a challenge, but it was just Stifles, Tarmogoyfs, and I don't know, modern Delver stuff. So you had some Murktides, and it was pretty fun. Like the whole Stifle, Murktide, trade resources. Honestly, the Jeskai one probably would have been better, but playing with my old Future Sight Tarmogoyfs was pretty sick.
That's flex. I love it.
It definitely died to a Tarmogoyf recently.
It feels embarrassing, doesn't it?
When Rob showed up and we like lent out, he brought two friends with him. I think it was like Nick and something.
No, it was Gerald and Steve, I think, right?
Okay. And I was playing Steve, and Elliot had built like Boomer Jund and given it to him. And I was on Blue Red Delver, and he definitely just started jamming Tarmogoyfs, and I eventually lost the game to just lose to Tarmogoyfs. I think I even lost the match to just trade resources, play Tarmogoyf, kill you. And I couldn't fight back. But Tarmogoyf, beautiful card. Maybe one day we'll speak fondly of Murktide Regent. Who knows? Probably not.
Oh, definitely not.
What if we were playing a format where we didn't play with Murktide Regent or any of these bogus MH2 cards, but we were still playing Legacy and all the bullshit, you took that out.
Oh, but I see what you're doing.
He did a good transition and you called him out on it. I did.
None of this Mind Goblin, no fucking hamsters. No, like even like Hex Drinkers or Furies or Tristan O'Loughlin with like three Archon of Cruelties attacking me to death. None of that. Just pure Legacy. What if we were just playing that format? Doesn't that sound like exciting? You don't look excited, Jeff.
It's because you stopped him from talking with your Teferi Time Raveler, unfortunately. Mm.
Oh, it was worth it. There was nothing good coming out of this side. Yeah, this looks cool. This looks really cool. Aside from like, you know, the deck that I love to play, getting completely fucking owned and losing like, you know, all of its great cards from supplemental sets, which I believe in the scope of supplemental cards are not the most egregious.
Oh, we had no recruiter, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so because you're not explaining this, I'm just going to briefly explain. What we're talking about is a format called Heritage. I'm not sure when it was originally kind of dubbed, like how long ago.
I think it was named pretty recently, but I know there was a pre-existing like Discord or something for a while too. So yeah. it's something
looks like it goes back there at least a year. But Heritage is basically the idea of, many people have had this idea. Someone just put a name on it, and humans have a habit of honoring someone whose name is something first, unless asterisks, several asterisks. But the general idea is all the additional sets that have disenfranchised players, made players mad about stickers and too much power and nullifying decks over the years, they said, you know what, why don't we just not play with those, and we're only going to play with the cards that have come through like a normal standard rotation and were printed in and had like a certain power level cap to them that weren't just fucking Murktide Regent and Prismatic Ending into the format and just eliminated several dozen decks all at once. So that's like the general idea with it. One thing that everyone, you know, when you cast a wide net, you tend to throw a bit of the baby out with the bathwater. So things like Imperial Recruiter that was printed in like 1999 or something is not part of this format. Even though I very much identify with that being a Legacy card, it's not part of this format. So there's things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff legally couldn't play his P3K planes, because those aren't allowed.
Sorry, let me play the other planes. This planes is too powerful.
Yeah.
Thankfully, my second favorite are these Adventures in the Forgotten Realms planes, and those are safe to use.
Some older cards. Some older slash kind of potentially playable cards that like might not be immediately on your mind would be something like True Name Nemesis is out. What's another one?
Flusterstorm.
Palace Jailer, Flusterstorm, Dak Faden, Hogak.
Council's Judgment.
Council's Judgment. I was just gonna say Keldra Complete, but fuck that card. That card's
it's
way
also funny because like we like be going through stuff for like and like Flusterstorm's a fine magic card. Mm-hmm. But you've been going through this list, and so far I've been like, not sad at all. Not sad. No. Like you started with Recruiter, sad. But everything since I've been like, okay, sure, yeah, fuck yeah,
whatever. Baleful Strix,
Collector Oof.
I feel like everybody
a perfect magic card.
I love Baleful Strix.
Perfection.
I don't know.
I would say something else on the perfect scale, which they've corrected their mistake. That's how perfect it is. But Scavenging Ooze would be on here if not for being printed into standard.
Mm. How is Baleful Strix too strong to just be a rare in standard?
Pretty fucking good.
The rares are fucked.
It's true.
You ever play limited and you're like, what is this? Any of those goddamn Defiler cards, they're fucking crazy.
Do you remember the last approximation of a Baleful Strix they made in standard? It was a Fathom Feeder, I think. It was a 1/1 death touch with ingest, and you could like pay mana to do something. It was really bad.
Devoid death. It doesn't even fly. Oh, for 5 mana, you can draw a card.
Hell yeah.
And then your opponent exiles the top card of the library.
Yeah, get that ingest going. I guess
that's good.
Baleful Strix is sweet. So good. But like, it's interesting because there's so much fucked up stuff that goes missing from, I mean, like Minskin Boo, like Hull Breacher, Opposition Agent, all of the Mono Horizons cards. Like there's so much stuff that's gone that's like fucked up and like, you know, good riddance in a lot of ways. But like losing some dinky white cards feels so bad.
Oh man, you know it what feels... the biggest like fucking dagger is? That on the, and this is no offense to MTG Heritage people because I have no beef with the Simply Nice people as far as I know, and I'm sure this is accidental, but they have the table of like legacy cards down in Heritage and Imperial Recruiter is not on the list.
Oh, I did note that as I was going through. I was like, I don't see this. What the hell?
It's just something that's not really it's just played that much.
Hey, Painter Hurtful. Is a top deck right now.
Yeah.
Actually, hold on. Are we just like not reading this properly? Because they even on their little like FAQ, they say, will my deck work in Heritage? And they say decks that get hit are D&T, brackets, Recruiter, Painter, Goblin Engineer. They're not even like specifically calling up Recruiter, but maybe, you know, Recruiter's just not even played in some of the new ones, and I'm just being a boomer with my
Painter. I think the deck. Truth is there was a bunch of people asking.
Not legal, right?
Yeah, it's not. But there was a lot of people asking on Twitter when people were talking about this, and particularly a tournament that happened, being like, did Portal ever go through standard? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody got an answer for that quick. So I'm assuming that's what happened here.
Also, like, did Revise really count as going through standard? The Dark was in standard. Like, was it?
I do like that. Well, actually, Alpha was not in standard. Like, it's like, get out of here.
Yeah, only since the creation of Type 2. There's no dual lands.
Well, it says supplemental sets is the language they use.
Isn't Arabian Nights the first supplemental set?
Get the fuck out
of here. Yeah, he's got you.
Well, technically, it was almost its own new Magic, the Gathering.
They want to make new. Did you know they want to make new backs for the cards?
There was
supposed to be purple.
Purple backs. And then at the last minute, Magic was so popular that...
You would actually know they were all Deckmaster games, but however...
And the Ink Blotch. Don't get me started on the Ink Blotch. People think... Okay.
Maybe next year they'll finally come out with like Deckmaster 2 and like that'll be the next set.
That would be wild. That's what you do for your, like if you ever make proxies, mm-hmm. You put Deckmaster 2 on the back.
Oh.
Just like the subtlest Magic back. On the weekend, so this would have been mid-October. Who is it? MTG Melee and Card Hoarder held a Heritage event, or was it just Card Hoarder sponsored? And they
did Carter. I think it might have sponsored. It was Mason Clark, I think, organized it.
Yeah. I have to say, one, they got like a really good group of people to just throw to, well, I don't say throw some decks together. There was definitely quite a bit of thought that went into it, but they put Heritage decks together and then played them off in a 4 or 5 round tournament with a cut to top 4, which JPA on Sneak and Show ultimately won. It looked pretty sweet. Maybe it was just that, like, it was really tingling my like 2014, 2015 SGG vibes with both like excellent commentary and gameplay from around that time. But it looked pretty awesome. I do have to say, I would be, if there was a Heritage event being held somewhat proximately to us, I would definitely want to go to it and play in it.
Yeah. Keep your eyes peeled for the next Canthresh Invitational.
We do our own Invitational. Can we make our own rules?
Let's go. Let's do it. Minor point of clarification is Mana Traders that sponsored the event. Rules, but this was sponsored by Mana Traders.
Shout out to Mana Traders. We're not sponsored, but also if you use the, I don't even know if that works anymore.
I'm sure that has been long since retired.
You can find a code though.
Yeah, it really helps us out. Use the code. You said go back and listen.
That just makes me think, you know that episode of The Simpsons when like Bart and them are in a bookstore and he buys like a book on UFOs and then it follows like the electric wire all the way, like all the way to the White House, sort of like, sir, somebody bought your book. That'll be the people running Mana Traders when our coupon code gets used.
Wow, that was good. I do enjoy those moments where like you have this like triggered moment of like some random old Simpsons memory that like captures the moment that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty great moments.
There's so many. It's just universal.
Yeah. I definitely known friends who will just talk in Simpsons quotes. Like everything they're actually saying to you is just quoting the Simpsons. You have to tell them to stop after a while. Because they're just like enjoying it far too much.
It's been like beaten out of me because like Liz wasn't allowed to watch Simpsons when she was a kid, or she just didn't. And then the woman I did before Liz, also for like quite a while, also was like not allowed to watch the Simpsons. So occasionally I'll still say stuff, and then Liz will just be like, "What are you talking about?" And that's been my life for like the last decade.
I'll, like, is this like the power dynamic you use to appear funny in a relationship?
Jeff,
yeah, so I'm just getting nagged.
Well, not spoiler, but I'll confess I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons
either. I wasn't either.
But and I wasn't allowed to watch Power Rangers. But whenever like literally anyone other than my mom was around, they're like, let's watch The Simpsons. And it was fucking sweet. It was like the fastest way into the good books from my brother and I. It's mm-hmm. just like, hey, do you want to watch The Simpsons? And I swear when something like that is, you know, it's the forbidden fruit, you absorb it that much more.
Like, absolutely.
So it almost made it better, honestly. But I never watched, I only watched like up to, I don't know, season 8 or 9 or something like that. So I didn't watch it. Yeah, yep. Well, that's what I've heard anyway. But any of that newer stuff that they kind of trundle
like up to 11, it's probably.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of that stuff. Anyway, Heritage, pretty sweet. That would be pretty fun. I imagine if we actually held like a 1K, just like event in 1K. Vancouver. Imagine how many random like people who just like have like. Still have their cards, but haven't really played or kept up with the bullshit that is Fire over the last 4 years. They'd be like, holy fuck, I'm going to go play this event. Like, I can actually play this.
Can we also just throw World of Spark in the trash?
Yeah, sure.
Heritage of the Spark.
Yeah, like we're making our own rules, right?
Yeah, Canthresh format.
Yeah, well, we might as well unban a bunch of cards while we're at it.
Yeah, unban Recruiters.
And P3K.
Yep.
Proxies allowed. Survival of the fittest allowed. Mind twist, these nuts allowed.
No one can see it but our eyes. With it. Why is the survival of the fittest and our eyes went wide? Like, I don't even know what would be good with that.
Elves, probably. And then some weird, I don't know.
Root wall, somewhere. Maybe. Okay. The news to come, I suppose. Maybe.
All right, that'd be sweet.
I like how you like elves, and I'm just like, oh, just like another discard outlet for Reanimator.
McBain, we're talking about some cards we're thinking about playing. Do you want to tell me about some cards that you played?
Wow. My transition was so much better than your transition.
I'm out of practice. You can tell by me interrupting yours.
So I got to go to, I was invited to a old school event down in San Francisco area, the Bay Area. It was a whole weekend. So you kind of showed up on Friday and then you left on Monday morning. And there was a old school event, like a main event on Saturday, and then a whole bunch of stuff throughout the weekend. It was put on by Beast of the Bay and it was called Urza's Chalice. There's actually a pretty good recap episode on All Things Considered that we can put in the show notes. And they kind of, two of like the main guys for it kind of go through a bunch of the stuff, but I can cover it from my perspective as a old school / legacy player, I guess. But it was a pretty phenomenal weekend. This was, I think, the fourth Urza's Chalice that they've had. It happened last year, but it was like pretty small. And then it was canceled for the prior year, but it had happened before that. And it was a pretty magical weekend, I have to say. So the main event of like the old school actual tournament was honestly just like a sideshow to the rest of all the stuff that was going on. I'll kind of go through it in a little bit of chronological order, and then maybe you guys can ask me some questions. But first of all, the cool thing about the event was that like you paid the entry fee. And then after that, like there was literally no other costs that you were up for. And like rides were arranged from the airport to the event, which is at a camp in the woods. Like a big scouts camp that they just kind of rented out half of it. And so like when they'd say book your flights between this time and this time, and then like enter this log and then we'll arrange rides for those people. But I walk out of the airport and there's just like a big Escalade that just has the like event name on the side of it. And I meet up with four other guys and we hop in and we go off to the event. It was pretty sweet. And you just kind of met people all weekend from all over the world, honestly. I did meet one other Canadian, Ryan Bogdan from Toronto, who was actually playing Reanimator in the main event. He's a bit of a Reanimator aficionado. We played some pickup games and he definitely crushed me at one point when he All Hallows Eve and brought back some very large creatures.
What's the premier thing to bring back?
I think he had Shivan, Sarah Angel, Triskelion.
Oh my god.
Triskelion was brutal though. Like you'd like reanimate all these things, and then it would just blast your board apart. And then they just start attacking with Shivan and Sarah. Once the event, or once the kind of like everyone showed up on Friday, they had like there's probably like 60 plus people there. And they had just like a players meeting where they kind of introduced everything and went through what was going to happen on the weekend. And then one of the old school members runs an event called Urza's Ante. This is Jeff Liu, and basically had a big box of deck boxes. And he just walked around the room and you reached in and you grabbed one. And it was your sealed box of cards, just like a sealed pack or a tournament starter pack or whatever you call those things back in the day. And those were, they were proxy cards, and they had the back of like a different art on the back. And it was like a customized 93, 94 set. And you would open them up. You'd have to make a deck out of them, play three rounds against three random opponents, like that they had a tournament structure for. And then after that, you got a booster pack of four cards that were kind of like the more powerful, better cards from like a better part of the pool. So everyone's decks at the beginning were pretty dog shit. It was pretty funny. And then after every meal throughout the event over the entire weekend, everyone would get a booster pack of another four cards. And after the initial three rounds, trading was allowed. So like everyone is going around, or like whenever you had a spare moment, you'd go up to someone that you had met. You'd be like, hey, you know, nice to meet you. Do you have any trades? What do you got? And you, like, so it felt very like, you know, back in the day, high school, it was really fun. Always asking for trades and kind of going through stuff. And then you don't really know the rarity of anything. So you see like, you know, a bizarre Baghdad, and you're like, oh, well, this is a really good card, but you don't really know if it's a good card because you don't know like what's in the pool of cards and what you might be able to do with it. So your kind of card evaluation is really off, and something might be a lot better in the particular format than otherwise. It's not just exactly the same cards again. But the twist, I was talking to Jeff about this actually after our round one event in the main event, because he was my first round opponent. And I said, like, so like, where'd you get the idea for this? And he says, well, I generally pick like one main core idea for the ante, and then everything kind of gets built around that idea. And this year it was that all the basic lands that you get in your sealed pool would instead be Moxen. So as you open up your sealed event at like the beginning of the weekend, you're kind of shuffling through and you're like, ooh, cool. I got like a Time Elemental. I got a Sarah's Angel, whatever. You're kind of going through your cards. Oh, maybe I got like a Recall or a Time Walk or something. And then you get to the back and you're like, oh, here come the basic lands. And then it's just, you're like, oh, I got a Mox Jet. And you're like, another Mox Jet, another Mox Jet, another Mox Jet. And then it's just four or five of every single Moxen. So it totally changed how you built your decks and like what you were trying to do. And it also created all these like weird little combos and stuff. But things like a draw seven, like Wheel of Fortune, obviously wasn't in the card pool because like play all my Mox in turn one, Wheel of Fortune, go nuts again. Like that's not really fun for everyone involved. So things like that weren't allowed, but things like Nevermiral's Disc was in the format, which was like fucking awful because it was just literally it obliterated your entire board half the time. Because there was dual lands and basic lands and stuff, but they weren't very common at the beginning. And you're like, why am I playing these fucking lands when I can just play Moxen? Like, it's cool. And
Disc then someone being obliterate is fucking sick.
And then, yeah, so when someone like discs, or when they disc and then response and Hercules Recall their board back to their hand with the disc, you lose everything. And then they just replay all their Moxen. You're just like insta scoop. Like there was some crazy games. There was even, if you guys scroll down in the document, I put some of the decks that kind of like people eventually built over the course of the weekend as they kept trading for more and more cards. There was even cards like Power Leech, which is an enchantment that's just green, green. And whenever your opponent taps an artifact, you gain one life. So someone just like randomly pay Power Leech. And whenever you tap your lands, which are all Moxen, they're just gaining a ton of life. So there's all sorts of weird combos. And then as the weekend went on, more and more of the good booster packs were opened. And I guess I should add one more thing. Whenever you played a game against anyone at any point, and you could just play pickup games across the whole weekend, the rule was that you had to play for Andy. So you would shuffle up your cards, you would draw your seven cards, and then you'd each take the top card of your deck and put it face down. And the winner of the game would get both cards. And when you would do that, you would have to...
Richard Garfield intended.
Yeah, and it's playing for Andy is incredible. And when you lose the card, you have to sign your card with your signature, and then you can, you know, deface it or whatever you want. But there was a prize at the end of the event for whoever had the most signatures. And that was kind of like the overall theme. One cool aesthetic that they had in there is that there was a foil sheet printed of all the cards that were in like the customized set. And the foils actually looked really fucking good. Like they weren't Pringles, and two, they were gorgeous. But there was only one of each thing. So like if you opened a foil icy manipulator, that was the only foil icy manipulator. So some people
that's cool.
Some people would actually like really want to trade for like their own cube at home. They're like, I want that fucking icy manipulator. And they would like trade you actual good cards for it at the end of the event. But on day two, at some point, like halfway through the day, I lost like, some people would just like lose a mox or something, which is basically a land to their ante. And it's like, cause you know, it's land. So you got a lot of those in your deck. I lost four of my rares. I played like four ante games in a row, and like four of my good cards, I lost all of them. And like my deck was like basically decimated and non-functional. And I was like, oh my God, I'm never playing another game in my life. Like, holy fuck. And I had to totally reevaluate and change my like entire deck strategy. And I ended up kind of ultimately going towards a mono white artifact reanimate strategy, which sounds wild. I was kind of going for some spice, but the main cards is I had two Bazaar of Baghdad's, two Mishra's Workshops, five Argivian Archaeologists, which is like the little white shitter that can return artifacts from your graveyard to your hand. And then I had some Resurrections and some big dumb artifact creatures. So I could play like, and then I had a bunch of Alio piles so I could get recur shock damage. I never got a Chaos Orb. I really wanted to get a Chaos Orb so I could just recur Chaos Orb all day long. That was my deck. It was pretty fun. It wasn't
that sounds really sick.
It was totally up your alley, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some really fucking powerful decks out there over the course of the weekend. Like further down the dock, like the first deck that I have here is a channel fireball deck. There's eight channels in the deck. It's a green red deck. It's
got eight channels.
It's got three lands in it. The rest are Moxen. There's two elves.
Only one fire. Oh, he's a disintegrate too.
Yeah, he's got, and then there's two elf land war elves, a chain lightning, a lightning bolt, eight channels, three power leeches, which is the life gain enchantment. There's a foil icy manipulator, a regrowth, a sylvan library, a fireball, three disintegrates, one of which is foil, and then a mirror universe. That's insane. The fact that like you can literally just go off turn one and just nuke them is terrifying. Further down is actually the deck that won the most over the course of the event. It didn't start out this good. This was like the final product of the deck. It started out with like Acacian Towns and shit like that, but it was basically mono white shitters with like Crusade and pump effects. And it ultimately turned into a whole bunch of Savannah Lions and White Knights, a couple of Crusades and Disenchants, a whole bunch of Swords to Plowshares and a bunch of Preachers, and then all Mox Pearls. And all the Mox Pearls were foil just for the bling.
Wow.
And this, I think this guy got 47 signatures over the course of the weekend. He was just like slaying people. It wasn't even fair. Then there was another deck further down that was a mono blue workshop deck. So the only lands in the deck are four Mishra's Workshop and a Mishra's Factory. The rest are Mox Pearls, a Lotus, a Mana Vault, and a Soul Ring. A couple Icy Manipulators, fucking six Triskelions, four copy artifacts, two Time Walks, and four Ancestral Recalls. I think this was like the most powerful deck at the end of the weekend. But they just got insane.
And this would be you sitting there recurring Alio piles.
Yeah, exactly, right? Two, like it just
two.
With the mocks in, it just got so crazy. But it was fun. But probably by about halfway through the weekend, I was just like, okay, I am far outclassed and not really playing this very much anymore. But it was still fun to trade and collect some cards. I gave away a bunch of all like the random stuff, but I kept a bunch of the cool cards. So that was just so much fun. And just that idea of like getting a sealed product that you didn't know how it worked and getting to explore that. And then also like, again, that's like trade evaluations and like, you know, Icy Manipulator is still a really good card, but you don't really know what other stuff is going on. It was just super fun. There was the old school main event that I played in. There was a pre-modern event, but I didn't play ultimately in that. I did bring a pre-modern deck, but the Urza-Xanti stuff was just too much fun that I was just like, screw that, playing Urza-Xanti. And then I proceeded to lose all my anti-matches, and or at least all the ones that really mattered, and then got quite dissuaded. Nothing too crazy about the main event. It was just a fun old school tournament. I was doing fairly well. I think round four, I was at table one. And then the last like three rounds, it was just like lose, lose, lose. And that was that for me. But there was lots of like random stuff going on around the weekend. So they had an artist there throughout the weekend at the camp, and it was Mark Tadine, and he was doing alters the entire time, but he had like a booth and you could go and hang out with him and stuff.
That's so cool.
And each lunch, there would be like a lunch thing that was going on. And then afterwards he brought in some fancy coffee from this like specialty place in Seattle. And he would do like an AeroPress coffee for whoever wanted it. So he'd just be like, it was called Arabian Grinds with Mark. And he was up at the front and you just like hang out and chat with him and his partner who was there, Wynn. And you just kind of shooting the shit and he just like make you coffee. And it was so good. Then like each time you were playing or doing something after it, your like literal hands were shaking. You're like, this is really powerful stuff. But
is this where you lost your matches? You're all revved up on this coffee, the jitters.
Like his magic cards, very powerful. Things go sideways very fast.
Yeah, it was really fun just to like, you know, and he had a name tag on. And it was, what was it like? Joe Orb or something like that. I don't know. But just a kind of surreal moment where you're just kind of hanging out with one of like the big names of the magic artist world. He's just like making coffee for you, hanging out. Each night, so again, there was like Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. Each night usually went until like 2 or 3 a.m., at least for me, but some people stayed up even longer, and there was just like stuff that was going on all the time. There was kind of like two main floors for the event. And the lower floor was where like cube games were going on all the time. They had multiple old TVs set up with like all the gaming consoles and like literally every game imaginable. And then they had another TV up top that was playing old VHSs.
Ooh.
And they had this giant box of like all amazing old
Goosebumps
like
80s promos,
80s and 90s VHSs. And you could just like, as soon as one was done, you would just like pick it up. And you're like, oh, let's watch RoboCop. And you throw RoboCop in. And so there was just always like some old movie going on that was amazing. But like, it was literal, like you could just cube. You could probably like not sleep for the entire weekend and just cube the entire time with a different cube. it was just madness.
God, this looks so sick. I'm very jealous.
But they would hold like each, so the Beast of the Bay, the old school team that was putting it on, or the club that was putting it on, there's probably like a dozen or more of them, and each of them had like their own little thing that they would do. So like one of the guys would do like these evening snacks and just like cut up this like amazing steak and like grill it up and like serve it up at midnight. And it was like literally the best steak you've ever had at midnight. And then there was another one where a guy worked for like a winery. So it was just like a wine tasting event where like they actually like go through all the pairings and the food and all that stuff. What was another one? So on Sunday is probably like my favorite day, honestly. Not only do you get like more Arabian Grinds coffee with Mark, but in the morning there was a event called Mono Green in the Woods. This would be right up your alley, Jeff. And
among the slugs, the spinning slugs.
Exactly. Like so the rules were, you had to play. So the premise was, everyone was going to build a deck. They're going to go on a hike in the Redwoods. And then at a couple points along the hike, you would stop and you would just like jam some games against people. And you were not allowed to sleeve your cards, and you just kind of had to play wherever in the woods. And you could only play old school cards that were colorless or green. That was,
and you pre-built your deck, right? So
yeah, and you pre-built your deck. You showed up with it. And I put a bit of thought into this, and like, what do you think like the level one deck is when you say like everyone's,
well, it's mono definitely green. Just like as close to like mono green stompy in old school as you get, right? Like you're playing like, you know, I guess you know, you're playing big djinns and, you know, spinning slugs, maybe some wolves, some Wailuli wolves, some banding guys. Maybe you want to play some like scrib sprites and go for like a little, you know, air attack. Basically, you know, shove your face in.
So yes, the only thing I would add to that is forced walk.
Yeah. Oh,
so like there are like Shannon and Dryads, like one green, one forced walk. Like, ooh. Forced walk creatures are the stompy because, you know, everyone's playing green, so likely they have forests.
I love it's like the old school version of that, like, mono blue. What was the draft format where everybody played the Slither Blades? Like the one mana, one unblockable. Like, that's just the old school version of that. Everybody's going in with their one drops that can't be blocked.
So that was my like level one is green stompy, get in there, maybe some giant crows, maybe a berserk if you want to play that unsleeved on a forest floor. And then like just go with that. Then the next level up for that was like, okay, well, I'm going to play like bigger creatures and go bigger, like potentially like Urnums and spitting slugs and force of nature. I definitely died to a craw giant with a lure on it at one point.
Craw giant?
With fucking lure and rampage too and trample. It was it was very bad. It was like a fucking wrath of God.
Wait, how did he get rampage too?
Craw giant has.
Oh, it just has it. Too. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. I'm
thinking it's the legends one. Yeah. Not craw worm, craw giant. So this guy like ramped out Craw Giant, threw a lure on it, was like, you die. This is going to wreck you. So then there was like the big green. Then I was like, well, why don't you just play like all artifacts and play the Urza's Lands and like just don't even play forests. Like you stop the forest walk crap. You play like Triskelions and you kill all the land worlds.
Ooh.
I was like, that sounds pretty good. So there were some of those going around. There were some decks where they played like all of the Sapperlings from Fallen Empires. One of my opponents was like, he was picking up like little acorns and leaf litter and using those as his tokens for all his little Sapperlings, which was kind of annoying, but also awesome.
You got to give it for the flavor win there.
Yeah. Well, the ultimate flavor win was there was a guy who was it Spore Cloud from Fallen Empires, which is like fog and they don't untap for a turn. That was like a pretty freaking amazing Ooh. Card in the format. But there was fog was also good. So there was a guy who was playing like millstones and fogs and just trying to like draw the game out. So he had like Arborea so that you just don't attack and then just like mill you. But his fog deck, he actually on his like belt had a little mini fog machine with a hose that he like had go up his sleeve and then down his, so it came out like just underneath his like watch.
Wow.
And when he would cast fog, he would like turn the machine on and be like, I cast fog, and like literal fog would like come out of his hands and like onto the battlefield and like dissipate. And he's like, fog. And you're kind of like, okay, that's fucking sick. And then like, it looked really cool. That was the ultimate flavor win. There was another time where there's like these giant banana slugs in the redwoods. And someone was like lying on the forest floor playing their opponent. And someone had a spitting slug in play. And like the slug like cruises on by. So he like picks up the slug and like puts it on top of the spitting slug. And he's like attacking and tapping with the slug. Like full on Yu-Gi-Oh! Like card kind of monster coming out of the card. It was super fun. There was, in terms of like, what was the prizes? So there was a prize. They gave you like little wooden tokens and like little, yeah, they're basically little wooden tokens. And whenever you would win a game, you would take a token from your opponent, and whoever has the most tokens at the end of the weekend got like a prize card. And then there was also a prize card for like the most expensive card.
Someone's willing to play on a forest
potentially ruined on a forest floor, which was an HP Mishra's Workshop from the guy who played an artifact.
Holy shit.
Yeah. There was one game that was fucking epic though, where the mono artifact deck got to the point where they're playing against this guy from Britain, and they played Titania Song, and they had like all these artifacts in play, like Bone Flute and you know, all sorts of random garbage. And they're attacking in, and they get the guy down to like 2 life. And but like before they got the Titania Song, the other guy on mono green had like beaten him down to really little life. And then he stabilizes with that Fallen Empire Spore lady that like can fog for 3 counters. And he gets the enchantment down that can add spore counters on to Sapperlings. So he's basically like tap 6 mana, put 3 counters on my fog creature and fog your army. So they like stabilize the game. And then the guy, the artifact guy, has a Desert Twister in his hand to like get rid of the spore lady. But because of the fact that he's playing artifacts and no forest to get around the forest walk, and his Titania Song turned off his mana filtering and just made them idiot vanilla artifacts, he like couldn't cast it and he was like locked out. Oh, and then eventually the other player finds the Scrib Sprites, and then like Giant Growth berserks their Scrib Sprites and for the win. It was pretty epic. I just played the level one strategy of like the forced walk shitters with like pump and some tricks.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Scarwood Hag, which actually turned out to be a fucking rock star.
I just saw that card for the first time when I was looking at forest walk things.
Yes. So Scarwood Hag is from the dark. It's 1 and a green. You can tap and remove forest walk from a creature. And then you can pay 4 green and tap it and give forest walk to a creature. So I got into like this battle where my opponent cast Hidden Path at one point, which gave all creatures everywhere forest walk. But then I would use like Scarwood Hag to like unforced walkthrough creature if they attack so that I could like jump and block and kill it. It was wild. And then I just had, I had trackers and white only wolves, and trackers definitely carried me across several finish lines. Tracker was so good. Cause removal is just so scarce.
But man, Hidden Path is ballsy.
It was. He was just like, all right, let's see what happens here. Like, we were on like very similar decks. But Hidden Path is kind of like the play attack and for alpha, right? And hope you don't get fogged or spore clouded. But it was really interesting. Like, there was probably like 30 people who went out for like the walk in the woods with all these mono green decks. And there was maybe like, I don't know, 7 or 8 at least different like kind of archetypal styles of the deck that people were making. And everyone had different takes. It was super wild, but it was actually like a very deep format for literally just green shitters. But it was super fun. I had a
lot of fun. I love like the Marshall Sutcliffe pointing meme now. And it's like Heritage Legacy. No one can see this, but my hand is saying no face. And then just like mono green old school, and I'm pointing and smiling.
The mono green, it was like Pendlehaven. Quinn, you'll appreciate I had 4 Pendlehavens in my deck, and ooh, it was a fucking rock star. Then
in certain formats, ooh, incredible, so overpowered.
Aspect of the Wolf on a tracker. You'd have this like 6/6 tracker that was just like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it was just like blasting creatures. It was so good.
I actually remember one of my favorite Pendlehaven moments is McBain. You played Humility on me, and I was like, fuck, what do I do? I'm playing Infect. And then I just drew Pendlehaven and was like, oh, I win.
Yeah. When the world is 1/1s, a 2/3 is very good. So that was the morning on Sunday, and then there was lunch, and then again, Arabian Grinds coffee with Mark. But then in the afternoon, it was a painting lesson with Mark Tadeen, where he would walk you through painting one of his arts. And their art that he selected was Chaos Orb. And they didn't reveal it until like the very moment. And it's Mark Tadeen. Like, there's so many cards that they could have chosen to actually paint. I think in previous years they've done like a Guardian Beast. The year before they did Moat. So like that respective artist is there at the event, and they like lead through the class. And so you get like your little painting board, and they're like, okay, they've got like a big webcam screen up on the wall, and you've got all your painting materials that are provided. And they're like, okay, we're going to sketch this out. We're going to kind of draw it this way. And you go through all the steps, and then they like, okay, we're going to mix these colors and kind of sort of do this. And then we're going to paint here first and walk you through it. But it was really cool to like have him tell the story and history and like where he was getting inspiration from when he originally drew it, like way back in 1992. And just all the stories that kind of went along with it over the years. It was truly a pretty amazing experience. But it was like some people's Chaos Orbs by the end of it were like absolutely heinous. There are some that were pretty incredible. Like, if you guys scroll down a ways in the document, there's some ones that I put in there. At one point when he was talking, Mark said, he's like, you know, like it kind of like, if you look at the Chaos Orb face or the orb's face, it kind of looks like Charlie Brown, like when mm-hmm. he was trying to describe the mouth of it. So like one person like literally like made a Charlie Brown Chaos Orb. Yeah.
I see the Snoopy in the corner of it. I think you have the edge of the Charlie Brown Chaos Orb.
It's up on the top as well.
It's kind of duplicated. Oh yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. But there was like a whole bunch of different interpretations, but like Mark loved it, because like as he's walking around the room, as like people's Chaos Orbs are taking shape, he's just like, they're all different. Like, there's no two orbs alike. Some people's were like literally just like a shitty meatball, Some of them look like some like Wookiee. Some of them they were using like all sorts of different colors, and it was like more of a, if you've ever looked at like the wooden sphere art, it looks very similar to Chaos Orb. So like someone was like, I really like wooden sphere, I'm just going to draw wooden sphere rather than Chaos Orb. So it so was just
it's a ball, it's an orb, it's a sphere, it's fine.
Yeah. So it's just a really sweet experience to do. Then at the end of it, there was a award ceremony where they kind of like, again, this whole event was for charity. So there's a food bank there that they were raising money for. I think it was like $7,500 they raised across the weekend. But they Mark's Chaos Orb that he drew during like the instructional lesson, they auctioned that off, which is like, you know, a hand drawn Chaos Orb by Mark Tadine. Like,
it's so pretty cool.
It was fucking pretty sick. And then they even auctioned off when his partner was there, and she had drawn probably the best Chaos Orb in the room. Well, no, it definitely was the best Chaos Orb in the room. It was very good.
Rip Mark.
And and at the end of it, like, they were kind of doing the ceremony, and someone's like, auction wins. And then like everyone's like, yeah. And they look over, and she's like they hadn't really, Mark and Wynn hadn't really been to an event like this, so they really didn't know what to expect. But they said it was like their best weekend of their life. Like, it was just like
an hanging out, making coffee, painting, raising money. That's cool.
Just and she's like, if you guys want to, you know, auction my art that I just randomly drew for fun, sure. But secretly, it's kind of like, you know, one of one. Like, Mark's painted a lot of orbs, but she's done one. And so that one got auctioned for a bunch of money. I'll just say that. And
did you think about buying it?
No.
What I'm saying is, did you ponder her orbs? Sorry.
Well done.
Sorry. I apologize.
What were some other things that they auctioned off? There was a playmat that Mark had done like the week before that had like Juzum Jin holding an Urza's chalice. And it was probably the most incredible playmat I've ever seen in my life. And that was auctioned off as well. And it was pretty sweet. Like, when they were doing these things, like, Mark was like totally in them. Like, he was just loving the energy in the room. So there's just like 70 people there cheering it on. And he's like got the item up at the front, like, or he's holding the art, and he's like egging people on as they're having like auction battles and stuff to like raise more money. It was a pretty cool experience. There was also a raffle that they held. So again, all the proceeds going to charity, and they had a whole bunch of different little jars that you would put your raffle tickets in to go for an item. So there was a bunch of like altered cards. There was, remember those like little scrying, like orb, like metal life counter things?
Oh, a little like wizard on the twisty thing.
Yeah. They had a bunch of those. They had like a cool backpack. They had a full cube of the Urza's Ante card pool, which is pretty sweet. What else did they have? One of the items was a revised booster pack. So like everyone like threw a bunch of stuff in there. And when the auction came up, and the guy like goes up to get the booster pack, he's all excited. And then someone's just like, open the pack. So he just immediately shreds the pack in front of everyone and like goes through like card by card. And it was ultimately probably the most dog shit pack of revised I've ever seen in my life. It was worse than that beta draft that they did in Vegas, where it was just like, you know, like the white glove revealing the cards, and it's like, and it's an island. So like a bunch of the uncommon slots were lands, and a bunch of the common slots were lands. There was, I think, like 7 lands in total.
Oh god,
like half of the good pack was lands.
You couldn't buy land packs, you needed that shit.
Exactly. And so it's 7 lands, and then the rare was Lifelace, It was the exact feeling that people will be experiencing soon when they open their $250 bullshit proxy fake card packs.
At least you can play this Lifelace in a sanctioned tournament if you wanted.
Exactly. But it was the ugliest pack of cards I've ever seen. So that was one of the things. There's a couple other things that they had for auction. And then just things that like went on across the weekend. I didn't really know what anti 40K was, but it was like secretly the thing that like half the room was doing throughout most of the weekend. And it looked like they were having the most fun in their entire lives playing this format.
I think I actually know what this is. I think we maybe saw somebody playing it at Puget Sound Battleground.
Maybe. So it's kind of like, it's the, I don't know, fentanyl of old school. It's like the strongest, most potent version of playing old cards as a drug. But the premise is 40K refers to 40,000 Swedish kroners, which is like...
Okay, I didn't know it's Swedish kroner.
I didn't know it's kroners either. I thought it was just like actual USD. And I was like, you people are insane. But it's Swedish kroner, which works out to like 4,000 USD or a little bit more than that. So your deck has to be at minimum that much. And you shuffle up, you draw your hands, and you face down ante the top card of your deck. And you're allowed to play, I think you can play four jeweled birds in your deck. And then all the other
switching ante thing, right?
Yeah, this is the switching ante. And it's an artifact that you play, and then you have to tap and activate it. And then when it resolves, it switch the bird becomes the ante, and then you get your ante card back. But if they like disenchant or shatter the bird when you go to do it, it doesn't work. So apparently often the games just end with jeweled birds being like you win a jeweled bird. But when you win the jeweled bird, you have to like deface and sign the jeweled bird when you lose it. Which apparently like anti 40K is like driving up the price of jeweled birds around the world. Because they're just like hoovering them all up.
It's like so magic.
But the main thing is that it's Swedish old school rules. So like no fallen empires, everything before that. So like ABU and the Dark Antiquities, Legends, and Arabian Nights are the sets that are legal. No revised, no reprints. So if you're going to play like, I don't know, Serendip Jinn, it has to be the Arabian Night one. If you're going to play, what's a card that was like reprinted and revised, like Sedge Troll?
Just like playing any card, you have to play the unlimited version.
You have to play the unlimited version. Crazy.
Oh, God.
So it creates this weird tension where like people don't really want, like, it's very easy to get to $4,000 with a bunch of unlimited and Arabian Nights cards that are bad. And you don't really want to risk losing like a Mox or
unlimited contract from below is $80.
Yeah. It goes up pretty quick. But when you're contracting, like you're adding more ante into the pool.
Yeah. Like you better win. And also it's just $80. Also, like, I was going to ask, and I'm sure we didn't see this week. Not bad. $28 is worth it. Did you see any Tempest Ifrit? Do you guys know that card?
I did see a Tempest Ifrit, and someone activated a Tempest Ifrit.
I remember playing them because it was in Chronicles, I think, or fourth edition.
I think it was in fourth. Do you want to read it?
In fourth, yeah.
Yeah, I need help on this one.
I'm old enough, like true boomer style. I used to play for Ante. Tempest Ifrit. It's a 3 red and 1 colorless. The 3/3. Doesn't matter what the stats are because you're never attacking with it. And its effect is tap, pick a card at random from the opponent's hand and place it in yours. That's fucking permanent. and then you bury Tempest of Freet in your opponent's graveyard. And then your opponent can play 10 life to be like, no, like not this, anything but this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sick sacrifice. As hell.
Incredible magic card.
So apparently one of the players got the Tempest of Freet off. The other opponent only had 3 cards in hand. And he's just like licking his chops. He's like, oh, what am I gonna get? And reaches over and like pulls out an unlimited swamp. And he's like, oh fuck. But then like plays the swamp and next turn fireballs him for Xaxes because now he has the extra.
Just like Richard Garfield intended.
Yeah. But I have to say, of like the whole weekend, I didn't see people having more, like the most fun I saw people having was playing anti 40K because the decks were just like just the right power level. It was like that kitchen table-y. You didn't really have all the cards. And you still had the skin in the game. And it looked like a pretty magical time. But apparently from the people who play it a lot, it's like generally people don't really like ever post the decks that they play. They don't talk about what other people play. Like it's pretty low key. And like, so you just kind of show up against your opponent and you're like, you don't really know what they're about to do. You don't want to know what they're on, what they're playing or what's happening. All you know is they probably have 4 Jeweled Bird in their deck at least. And apparently the magic is just beautiful.
That sounds great. I love it self-balancing by like, I'm scared to lose these cards.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there's a version of it where you play with the reprint policy. So it's obviously not $4,000. Like it would be like anti 1K or something like that.
Chronicles Jewelbirds are 50 cents. I'm like so down with this as a degenerate gambler and degenerate magic player.
Okay, Quinn. What would be the number then if you said, okay, it's old school Swedish, but you're allowed reprints? So like you can use like White Border Jewelbird or White Border Tempest of Freet or whatever.
I think rather even than if like it's like $50, Arabian. Just playing for Nanti is so fun.
Yeah.
Like what?
No, but like
actually,
you'd have to have it like, you know, $500 or something, so that there has to be like some cards in there that are worth money.
I don't think there does. I think it's more like I don't know. I mean, this is just me.
Imagine winning like someone's dual land and just fucking, because that's the self balancing part, right? It has to be.
I love it. Bane's getting so degenerate.
Well, no, but like that's part of what makes it so that people don't just build some super spiky deck is that there's a bit of pain involved with the price point, that it's not super low, it's not super high.
But I think if the price point is low, you can't build that spiky of a deck, right?
Oh, like, so
I think it just becomes a self-contained atmosphere, you know?
Okay, so I'll reiterate that it's a minimum of 40K, so someone can have 100K. But what you're saying,
I thought is it was that maximum.
You right. So what you're saying is that it's kind of like a commander budget deck where you say, "Oh, your deck has to be $50 or something."
That's okay, okay. So
that I think like $50 or $100, that would be fun. I would do that.
Mm-hmm. I'm in.
All right. Let's say $100.
Second Canthresh.
Well, hold on. Canthresh
Invitational.
What would be a good value?
Because like we can sort it out.
Okay,
right, we'll let everybody know.
Contract below is $4 for the record.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. But like, all right, $100, $150. Okay, we can sort it out later. I think this would be sweet.
Right, playing for antique is so fun. Like now, now that I'm not worried about like when I like losing my Sarah Angels, like the worst thing that's happened to me in my life. Which is how it felt sometimes as a kid.
Well, and when you lose it, remember, you're signing the Sarah Angel.
Yeah, and like that like, part.
You're drawn like, all over it.
So fun. So
then Jeff's sitting there. He's like, this is Quinn's Sarah Angel.
Like, I think, and I guess maybe, I don't know, depending on what kind of friend group you were, I think like there's a thrill to obviously winning money. But for me, like when I join a hockey pool or like any other thing, I'm like, oh, like the gift is that like I'm being like, oh Jeff, do you remember this clone? You own this clone.
Oh, hey, that's, you looking familiar?
Whose name is this on the clone? That's crazy. Looks like I got out of your hand with a Tempest Defeat that I also won back. Incredible for me.
Okay, I'm down. Let's do it. I could go on. Honestly, I really brushed over several things and didn't mention a lot of the debauchery, but overall, it was an amazing weekend with a group of pretty awesome people. And just, I can't overstate like the, again, traveling and going and doing something, but like everything's just taken care of, like all inclusive kind of vibe, really just made the weekend feel incredible. Like there was a whole room, like one of the rooms that was rented in the camp. It was kind of like a giant hotel-y camp thing. It was pretty big and nice, but one of the rooms was just a beer room. And there was several kegs. Many were gone through. And then there was like a whole hard bar and a bunch of guys who would just like make you all sorts of drinks. And it was just insane. I did find Brian, a guy from LA. I found potentially my equal or potentially even better at Mortal Kombat 2. I was the winner on SNES.
Okay.
But we had some pretty fucking crazy games. And like people just like, oh, sit down and like, oh yeah, okay, cool. Like, I'll just do random. And then they just start fighting. And then all of a sudden they like beat the other opponent that they're doing. And then they toasty them out of nowhere. And the whole room's just like, whoa, like fucking toasty. There was just all sorts of random bullshit like that that would happen throughout the weekend. It was fucking sick. And again, the food was the camp food. So there was like actually like a little mess hall that like served breakfast and dinner. But the people who were putting the event on actually like had caterers and special food that they served throughout the weekend. And it was insane. It was so good. Some like the best Mexican food I've ever had. They like got this food truck to come up, or it was like a specialty catering business to come up, and like they did a whole spread and you could just eat whatever you wanted. And it was so good.
It's incredible. Made me hungry.
Yeah, so super honored to be invited to go. Really loved it. Would do again. But it definitely has me thinking for like if we ever did some kind of weekend or event where we just get a bunch of people to come up and hang out, what that would look like. It's a good blueprint. Very cool. Well, that's a lot of rambling. Sorry.
No, it's actually sick. I love hearing about this, so I'm super jealous.
Yeah, it felt like when we went down and played at the last Puget Sound Battleground event where we rented like the Airbnb and played a bunch of cubes and hung out and stuff. It was like that, but just on a whole other scale. It was insane. You know, and then Mark Tadine's kind of walking around making you coffee.
It's harder to get at the Airbnb.
Yeah. They charge you $2. Yeah, so that's gas going to that event.
Oh, look, rounded out, perfect.
So, Quinn, let's just go right into that's gas. What's your gas?
I'm gonna let Jeff go because I feel like I'm gonna echo his statement.
Sure.
I think this will be a collective. Actually,
I hope so. Last week, I mean, 1 week ago today, actually, we had to put Roy down. So it's been a hard week in an empty house for the first time in 13 years. You know, we made the decision maybe 4 days beforehand. And, you know, as anybody following with the saga in general knows, he's had cancer for like over a year now. So having a year was crazy because when we first talked to a vet, they were talking about, you know, maybe 2 months or whatever. And this guy powered through and only ever saw any signs of age or effect, you know, in the last month. So we were able to give him a really good last 4 days doing everything he wants. And it was over Thanksgiving. So he had a whole turkey dinner and, you know, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, turkey. You know, we saw Gravine's cousin giving him pie. Like he had a good stretch there. Yeah, big gap in my life now. Yeah, it's been very strange, but shout out to my boy Roy.
Yeah, it's funny because you're not crying, and I'm like, I have to stop. I'm gonna cry, but that would be inappropriate. Yeah, man, like shout out to Roy, who has enriched all of our lives. But you and Gravine too. A difficult time, obviously. So, I think, I hope you realize it off the record, but on the record as well, that Mike Bain and I will speak for him rarely as a rare statement.
That I like the idea too, man. Of like, I need to mark this down because I got you guys pinned in here on microphone.
I hope you can expect this.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I've actually had a bunch of people reach out, which is really nice. I mean, Gavin and I both, you know, wrote a little piece on Twitter or whatever. And you're talking about not crying. I mean, I probably cried more in the last week than I have in the last 13 years. It's very weird, and very sad, but it's also, you know, it's nice. So anyways, I had a bunch of people reach out and I really appreciate that. You know, looking back again at, shout out as always to Dugs for the wonderful altar we got from Kai. I have it right now because I haven't played Legacy for a while. It's on a little stand under my monitor, so it's hanging out with me. Yeah, thanks everybody. we're some magic bullshit.
McBain, are you gonna like shout out like sleeves or some shit like that now? I got these. Listen, guys, I got these sick dice, and they roll so true.
They always come up sixes. It's crazy.
And it's the same. Yeah.
Oh, I was just gonna say. Well, I was trying to transition in the old school thing. Was that's my that's gas, and what are yours? What is your guys' that's gas? But
yeah.
I said I wasn't gonna cry to myself, but I'm crying now. So
to finish. This was not positive, but to finish on a happy note, also, speaking of your family, Jeff, shout out to Gavin, re-fucking elected.
You're going to dox me.
Shout out to democracy for doing the right thing for once. Gavin re-elected, head of the school board, yes?
The chair, yeah, I'm chair, not sure.
Whatever, I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess they have to re-elect the chair.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if they don't fuck it up, re-elected as chair of the school board. and I think that's a good place for us to end it, unless y'all have anything else you'd like to add.
We're good.
Yeah.
Peace.
Gravine back in her chair seat. Owned again, libs. See you on two thresholds, motherfuckers. Peace.
My twist is nuts.